In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Our Lady, Spouse of the Holy Spirit.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this fifth Sunday of Lent, we hear the Jeremiah the prophet talking about the covenant that God made with the people of the Old Testament and how he established that covenant rather sternly with them. And when they broke it, he said, you know, he had to treat them rather firmly because he had to show them that he was their master. But then St. Paul says in his letter that he said that our Lord also, God the Father, treated his own son rather sternly as well. Then he allowed him to undergo much suffering. And it's through his suffering that he learned obedience and made him perfect. So that God doesn't spare us from hard things. Matter of fact, it's God knows us and knows that we need to learn discipline. And he does that in his own fatherly way. And to the degree that we submit ourselves to God's authority, that we will take that discipline in the proper way and respond. Those of you who are here on your confirmation retreat, you know, you're growing more deeply in your spiritual life, and confirmation is supposed to be, it's a necessary sacrament for you to be able to carry the cross that God has given each and every one of you, because he says to all of his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. And so confirmation, that great sacrament, is a part of that. If you were an Eastern Rite Catholic, a Byzantine Catholic, you would have been confirmed the day you were baptized. Because in the Eastern Rite, they baptize you, confirm you, and give you already as a little infant a piece of the consecrated host. Because confirmation is supposed to be one of the initiation rites of the Church. It's supposed to give you everything you need to begin your life in Christ. So they baptize you, confirm you, and make give you, might say, you already make your first Holy Communion, you might say. You receive a part of the host as a little infant. We in the West somehow divide these things out into stages, which sometimes maybe gives us the false impression that we're, you know, that we have to mature and that and have that. But in the early Church even, they gave these three sacraments all at the same time, at the very beginning, so that you would be equipped to carry out your duties, to carry out your vocation as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. And even some today, or even in the Latin Rite, are wanting to give confirmation when children make their first Holy Communion. Because you need that grace to be able to live out your vocation. As soon as you're receiving Jesus into your soul, you should have all the grace of the Holy Spirit there to help you to carry out your task, to be truly conformed to Christ and to do that task. But you know, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, of all the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he's probably the most mysterious because we can't relate to Spirit too well. We can think Father, okay, I think I have an image of a Father, and I know the Son because Jesus came in the flesh. But the Holy Spirit, he's of the three persons of the Holy Trinity, he's the most mysterious because we don't know quite how to relate to the Spirit. Even our Lord says the Spirit blows where he will, like the wind. But we all have been in union. We've had a communion with that Holy Spirit from the beginning when you were baptized. Already you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you may not recognize him, but he is there, working in your soul, sanctifying you. That's his task, to make you holy. St. Maximilian Kolbe probably had a way of helping us to understand the Holy Spirit more clearly because he had some great insights that he received in his meditations and through his study of theology. He said, you know, within the Trinity, we have the Father and the Son. The love of the Son for the Father and the Son's love for the Father is a conception. What is a conception but the fruit of love? The Father and the Son, they generate the Holy Spirit. They conceive, you want to put it that way, the Holy Spirit. And so since the Holy Spirit is an eternal person, he said the Holy Spirit, we could look at him as being the uncreated Immaculate Conception. Because it is. That's the Father's love for the Son, and the Son's love for the Father is the fruit of love. And that's what a conception is. And so the Holy Spirit, St. Maximian Kolbe said, is the uncreated Immaculate Conception. And he said, well, outside of the Trinity, is there a place where God the Father's love for his Son meets and the Son's love for the Father? Does it meet somewhere in the created order outside of the Trinity, in the created world? Do they have a meeting place where that love comes to a point and has its object? He said, yes, in the Immaculate Conception, in the Mother of God, in Our Lady. He said she is the created Immaculate Conception. And in his reflections on the three persons of the Trinity and Our Lady's role with the three persons, how she relates to the three persons, our Holy Father St. Francis composed a prayer in which he said that Our Lady is the daughter, the firstborn daughter of the Eternal Father. She is the mother of the Eternal Son, and she is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. St. Francis was the first one ever to refer to Our Lady as the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Before him, there were saints who referred to Our Lady as the temple of the Holy Spirit, as the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, or sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. No one ever saw it in this personal way of being spouse of the Holy Spirit until our Holy Father, St. Francis, came up with that insight in a prayer that he composed. And so St. Maximian Kolbe said, so much is Our Lady the spouse of the Holy Spirit that she takes his name. You might say that Our Lady is Mrs. Holy Spirit, or Mrs. Immaculate Conception, because she takes his name, the Immaculate Conception. And St. Maximian Kolbe said, so much is Our Lady in union with the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit doesn't act without her. And it's quite clear, he says, from the Incarnation. The Incarnation, Jesus becoming the Word made flesh, didn't take place without Our Lady's saying yes. So that Jesus didn't clothe himself with a human nature without Our Lady saying yes and the Holy Spirit cooperating in that, that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Our Lady and we received the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. But he said also that the Holy Spirit and Our Lady work in the same manner with us, trying to make us look like Jesus Christ. And that's what sanctification is all about. When we say that the Holy Spirit is a sanctifier, his whole task is to make us look like Jesus. And since Our Lady was a very important role in that first incarnation of Jesus, so she is also essential in that other form of incarnation to make us look like Jesus, to make us into other reflections of Christ. So she's very important in the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you go to receive confirmation, you're receiving that sacrament of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came down on the apostles in the upper room and filled them with his light and his fire of love. Well, you're not going to see flames coming down in church. If you do, you better call the fire department. But you're going to experience that same kind of grace. It may come in throughout your life. It's going to be there to move you and to inflame you and to direct you. But you're going to have the fullness of the gifts of the Holy Spirit at confirmation. And Our Lady is going to be there in a special way to help you to cooperate with the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. St. Maximian Kolbe says that Our Lady is the quasi-incarnation of the Holy Spirit. What does he mean, quasi? She's not the real incarnation. Quasi meaning in a way, in a certain sense. You want to know where the Holy Spirit is working in the world today? Or where she is being manifested, or where he is being manifested, the Holy Spirit? It's wherever you find Our Lady. Wherever you find true devotion to the Mother of God, you will find that the Holy Spirit is working. So you might say, how do I know where the Holy Spirit's working in my life? Well, as you grow in love for the Blessed Virgin Mary, you will be, in one sense, assured that the Holy Spirit is there helping you. Because our Lord wants you to have this special relationship with Our Lady and the Holy Spirit. And because that's how he's going to sanctify us. You know, our Lord said, before he went into heaven, he said, I'm going to send you another advocate. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit that he was going to send at Pentecost. But notice he said, another advocate. Because we have a first advocate in the Mother of God. An advocate. Paraclete is another name for the Holy Spirit. That's an advocate, like a lawyer, one who pleads our case. I remember Dr. Miravalli, a great promoter of Our Lady and her fifth Marian dogma. One time at a talk he said, Our Lady's like a lawyer, an advocate. And after his talk, a man came up to him and says, I want to give you $1,000. I'm going to write this check for $1,000. He said, why? He said, well, I've been a lawyer for 20 years and no one's ever compared me to Our Lady. And, you know, lawyers kind of have a hard time, so... That they are compared to Our Lady as an advocate. You know, Our Lady pleads our case, but also she works on our behalf. And she works with the Holy Spirit, our other advocate. Isn't it interesting? She takes his name there too. She's Mrs. Advocate because she's working on our behalf. She's working on our behalf what? To form us and to shape us into Christ. That's the important task that they have. Now, Our Lady remains a creature. She doesn't become a divine person. But so much are they in union with each other. By the grace of her Immaculate Conception, Our Lady only wills what God wants. That they are working on your behalf, helping you to become more and more like Christ in your words and in your deeds. So at Pentecost, you know, Our Lady was in the upper room with the apostles, praying with them, awaiting the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Pope Benedict and Pope John Paul II, before him, said that Pentecost, Our Lady in the upper room in prayer with the apostles, is the model of prayer of the church of every age. So as you prepare for confirmation, I would encourage you to prepare for it by entering into a relationship with Our Lady, the Mother of God, and your mother too, and asking her to help you to be open and receptive, that you receive the Holy Spirit and don't put any obstacles in his path. You know, that's the most important thing. You know, the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts in a very powerful way, in our souls. But the only thing is that he wants our cooperation. And you know, we're our biggest obstacle. We get in the way many times of what God wants to do with us. So your task is to get out of his way and to let him work in your hearts and souls. The Holy Spirit wants to move you and shape you and to sanctify you. So we want to get rid of those obstacles. What are obstacles of the Holy Spirit working in our lives? Well, the sin, especially pride, thinking I can do it my way. And not God's way. So we want to get rid of the sins in our lives because really that is the biggest obstacle for us in trying to do what God wants. And it isn't interesting that she who was the most perfect instrument in the hands of the Holy Spirit was Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception. She had no sin. So she was very easily moved and shaped and guided by the Holy Spirit. So we want to live a good life. We want to follow the teaching of the church, for that is the thing that helps us to be instruments of the Holy Spirit and put no obstacles in his way. We want to be humble. Pride is one of, of course, the root of all sin. So humility is so important. And that is, you know, that I realize that I am not God. God is God and I am his creature. And we want to ask Our Lady in a special way to show us that humility, how to be lowly. Humility is not, you know, being a doormat. Humility, St. Therese of the Child, Jesus says, is truth. So wherever you seek to know the truth about yourself, about God's created order, you will be humble. But humility is also being grateful. To the degree that you thank God every day for the things that he has given you. Because a humble person realizes that they have received everything that they have. So grow on those two virtues. Be a truth seeker and a grateful person. And you will be very much filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will be easily used by Jesus and Mary to help our world today to be truth seekers and grateful people. That's probably one of the two big things that are problems in our society today. People don't seek the truth. They think the truth is something that they can make up on their own. That's why Pope Benedict said that it's the dictatorship of moral relativism. I don't make up the truth. I discover the truth that's already there, that God has put into things. And the church is especially that pillar of truth that God has established and put in our world. You want to know where the truth is? Go to the church. It has the truth as its sacred deposit. God has put it in the church. He has put it aside, and just like you put money in a bank, our Lord has put the truth in the church. And he's given us the grace to be able to go and find that truth and to live it. Because what did our Lord say? He said, the truth shall set you free. Knowing the truth will truly make you free. There's so many people who are bound up today under falsehood, under lies. They think that these things are true and they're being lied to. And so they are kept slaves to their own passions, to their own pride, to their own lusts, whatever it is. And it's only when we seek to know the truth. And the other thing which the Holy Spirit helps us to do is not only to seek it, but to love it. Because when we love the truth, we will live it. So today, as you are continuing your retreat and as it winds up today, really it isn't ending today, it's just beginning. Because you have much that you are going to be looking forward to when you are confirmed. Jesus is moving you to another step of discipleship. He's moving you to him closer. And to the degree that you take his mother into your home, and you are in that upper room with Our Lady, praying and asking for the Holy Spirit to come into your life in a very powerful way at confirmation, but every day of your life after that, that you be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do with you, then you will truly be living it out. You will be giving glory to Jesus and to God and the Holy Trinity. Remember, our Lord in the Gospel says that he wants to glorify his name. What was he talking about? He was talking about his passion. That was going to bring glory to him, praise to him. Why? Because when we look at how much our Lord suffered for love of us, all we can do is praise him and say, what great love he has shown for us. That truly did glorify him and the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because that was the work of all three persons, our Lord's work of redemption. And truly, when we look at Jesus on the cross, all we can say is, thank you, Lord, what great love you have shown for us. And the Holy Spirit is going to help us all to take up our cross and follow him, because he wants us to all glorify God. Even our St. Paul and even our Holy Father St. Francis and all the saints have said, I glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross that our Lord has given to each and every one of us is not something that we want to throw away or run from, but truly if we understand the cross that he has given to each and every one of us, It is something that we want to embrace and carry with Jesus. And that's where the Holy Spirit does his greatest work, because naturally speaking, those who don't know God's ways, they say, that's foolishness, that's idiocy. But even our Lord already said that the cross is a stumbling block to the Jews and a foolishness to the Greeks. To those who know the power of God and the wisdom of God, that is the cross of our Lord. And the Holy Spirit is truly the one who helps us to see that. So, today as you continue on in your way of life, just as young as you are, you have many great things awaiting you. And one of those is the great sacrament of confirmation and the graces that come with that. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of God will come in a special way more perfectly into your hearts and souls. Let us ask Our Lady in a special way that you will be as docile and obedient and conform yourself to all that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life to help you to become saints and to become holy and be truly happy in this world and in the next. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.